Yes, we're doing things a little differently today because tomorrow is the 40th anniversary of my ordination to ministry, and I wanted to do something special today because I will not be preaching next Sunday. Next Sunday, Reverend Mark Cernick, who is actually with us today, is going to be with us as a special favor to me as I celebrate it with you. But today I have my own comments to make. And so I start with that famous song by Willie Nelson. To all the girls I have loved before, who traveled in and out my door, I'm glad they came along. I dedicate this song to all the girls I've loved before. Anybody care to sing that? No. Okay. Well, first of all, and perhaps most importantly, if you take anything away from today, please know that you should not take that literally. Okay? When I speak of girls that I've loved before, I'm speaking of churches, because many times marriage is often used as a metaphor for a relationship between a pastor and a congregation. And so, given that metaphor, I can say that I have been married 8 times in my career. Starting with Bethel Baptist Church in Ellicott City, Maryland, and I could enumerate them all, but I won't. And finally here, to date, St. Lucas United Church of Christ in Evansville, Indiana. I have a lot to be thankful for, and that's why I asked Ray to read those short verses in 1 Thessalonians. I always remember you, giving thanks to God for you. And so this is my chance, in advance of next Sunday's celebration, to take my time to share my reasons for thanks to all of these girls that I have loved before. And I have 3 things I want to share for which I am thankful, beginning with this. I am thankful for all that I have learned, because being married 8 times certainly teaches you a lot of lessons in ministry. Here are some of the things I've learned. I could spend hours on this, but I won't. Just a few minutes. Lynn Martin, members are volunteers. Please remember that. They have families, and their lives do not center around the church like your life does. So don't have exaggerated expectations, and don't be disappointed when not everybody attends every Sunday or everybody jumps up to volunteer for mission and ministry. Members are volunteers. You are not. They are. Second thing I've learned is to fight fewer battles. And those battles that I do fight, to choose them more wisely. And I've stopped fighting over things like buildings, bucks, and butts. The 3 B's of the dying church. Not interested in the color of a carpet. Not interested in how many butts fill the seats. And not interested in raping people's pocketbooks so that we can have more money. Not interested in that, because I've learned in 40 years that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is mission and ministry. If we take care of that, God takes care of the rest. And then another thing I've learned, this has been the hardest. I've learned that some people don't need church. Yeah, I grew up in a tradition where you evangelize. People are dying in their sin, and they need to be born again, and they need to be, in essence, beat on from the Bible or with the Bible so that they repent of their sins and come join the church. And I've realized that some people just don't need the church. My children don't. Your children probably don't either. And that's okay. Some people do. I need the church. You obviously need the church, and that's okay. But some people don't. And we need to be okay with that. Otherwise, we're used car salesmen, and I don't like, pardon me if there are any used car salesmen here, I don't particularly like, yeah, Mike, you used car salesmen. I don't like high-pressure stuff that says, you need this. No. Some people don't need the church. I'm still happy to work with them. I'm still happy to enjoy their friendship and fellowship, and it's fine. A second thing I'm thankful for, beyond the things I've learned, is I'm thankful for the grace and the compassion and the forgiveness I have experienced from church people. I am full of mistakes, and I have made more than you are aware of. I am not a pillar of spirituality. I don't spend countless hours on my knees communing with God. I don't have a direct line to God. I can't speak infallibly about anything. And I have shared this with you time and time again, that what I say from the pulpit or here is my opinion. That's all it is. It's where I am. I think it's an informed opinion, but it's just my opinion about what God says, what the Bible says. It's up to you to figure out the rest and what you think is important. So I am not the paragon of spirituality. Years ago, and this is the biggest mistake I made here. Years ago, I thought we should move away from this community. It was about 12 years ago when we were thinking about what we were going to do with our buildings, bucks and butts. And I thought we should go out to where the fields were more ripe for harvest. And then we went through this spiritual strategic journey, and I repented of that and realized that that was the wrong attitude. I was thinking about going to a place where people would serve us and come to us in a better community. And that's not what the church is for. People out there are not there to serve us. We're here to serve them. And what better place to serve others than right here? And so I apologize for that mistake and support us in our spiritual strategic journey here around the theme of Luke 6:35, to give without expecting a return. So through all of these mistakes and missteps, with few exceptions, churches have been very forgiving, accepting my imperfections and encouraging me to keep going. And that is something that not all pastors enjoy. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thank the other wives that I have enjoyed through the years for doing the same thing. Third and finally, I am thankful that you, St. Lucas United Church of Christ, probably more than any of the other wives I've married, have allowed me the luxury of being human. And by that, I specifically mean the luxury of being honest about who I am and what my faith is about. Now, you might think religion and honesty go together. No, they don't. I thought that at the beginning of my ministry and soon found out that pastors had to hide some of their beliefs and practices. But you have allowed me to be myself, to share with you what I have learned, to accept it or not, it doesn't matter. Unlike any other place that I have known, you have allowed me to say things that during the Middle Ages would have caused me to be burned at the stake. As long as I fully accept your views, and that's the point. We talk to each other, we talk with each other, we allow each other the luxury of honest opinions and say that's okay. You have allowed me to say such outrageous things as, the Bible is a human product, and it is. And the 66 books that we have are all relative in the sense that they were codified and canonized by men, and I do mean men, which is why so many of the books are anti-female or have sections that are anti-women. Yes, it's a human product. And maybe the canon should be opened. Maybe there are wise things today that are just as sacred. And I think there are. You've allowed me to say that and play with that. I don't believe in virgin births because that doesn't happen. I don't believe that people walk on water unless you know where the rocks are. And I don't believe in the reanimation of dead flesh. And I have openly espoused and supported and defended LGBTQ rights and openly wed couples of any configuration. You have no idea, but I'm sharing this with you as a pastor, you have no idea how important honesty is, the ability to be honest. As long as your pastor is also willing to say, you have the right to be honest and believe the way you believe, and I support that, and I will defend that. And the reason why I say that, and all of this in my third point, is that I think our dogma is not what defines us. I don't think we are defined as Christians by what we believe. I think we are defined as Christians by what we do. And that's whether or not we follow, as disciples, the teaching of Jesus. Love is the main thing. In fact, it is the only thing. And that's why I prefer calling myself a disciple of Jesus than a Christian, because disciple tells us what we do. It's an action concept. The disciple follows. That's what a disciple does. A Christian can be anyone who believes that Jesus is Christ. That's just a belief statement. Disciple is where it's at. And disciples love Jesus and they love one another. And that's what I have longed to see in a church. Love that covers everything. Differences of doctrine, differences of race, differences of culture, differences of religion, differences of everything and anything, covered by love. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing, and for me that is the main thing. To all the girls I've loved before, these are the things I am grateful for, and I salute you for sharing in these things that I have loved, enjoyed, and appreciated. I am happy to have you as my current wife. How many sermons are like that today? Isn't that cool? I am married to my eighth wife, and hopefully my last one. I love you. Thank you for loving me back. And I will always remember you and thank God for you. Amen and amen.